Hi out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 020. Yes, this is the big Caffeination 20 here, and we'd like to welcome everybody who's listened before and say hi to all of our new listeners out there. You can find this podcast at www.caffeination.com. You can contact us at caffeination@gmail.com, or you can call our new listener line at 206-202-CAFE. That's C-A-F-E. Well, we have a lot of news for you tonight, so we'd like to get right down to it. First up, we'd like to congratulate one of our listeners and one of my very good friends from Philadelphia, Mr. Scott Burl, on the impending birth of his second child. Mr. Ian Feliciano Burl should be entering into this world before the next Caffeination is out. So any day now, in fact, any second, Scott's wife should be having their second child, and all the best luck to that family. Scott's so much of a tech, let me tell you this, he's probably going to kill me for saying this, but Scott's so much of a tech, he has a script written in work so that he can text message his machine and it will send out the birth notice, which is a wonderful idea. Well, apparently Scott didn't check all of his proc mail filters right, and the birth notice started going out with no apparent reason around 4 o'clock today, and he had 3 children in 3 minutes, so, in about 10 minutes actually, so, his wife wasn't too happy about that, and his sister was incredibly upset that she didn't receive a phone call. So, Scott, I hope you got that all worked out, and you know you can take your sweet time telling everybody when your son's in the world. But hopefully everything's working out for you, and I'll talk to you soon. Second bit of news is actually very good here for the Caffeination. We are proud to announce that as of tonight at approximately 10 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, the Caffeination podcast was accepted into the hallowed ranks of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. First off, I'd like to thank Todd from the Geek News Central podcast and all the other podcasters from the Tech Podcasting Network for allowing us into your ranks. It's been a pretty wild ride so far here in the Caffeination, and we hope you'll be able to give us some positive feedback, and we'll be able to end up changing the show for the better over the course of time. So strap in, everybody, because we're going to have kind of an interesting show here today. This is like my 78th take tonight, so we'll see how this one turns out. I guess this kind of show is what I get for doing the last show in exactly 2 takes, one for the intro and one for the main content last time, so this time I just can't seem to stop tripping over my own words. So, alright, first up here from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have a new band I found on the network called Fresh Sunday and their song, Not a Ghost. Let me know what you think, everybody. Again, that was the band Fresh Sunday and their song Not a Ghost from the PodSafe Music Network. Well, we have one more little announcement here I forgot before the PodSafe song there, and then we're going to move on to some of the little tech news we have for you tonight. The next announcement I have is due to a recent influx of funding, thanks to an upcoming birthday, we will be purchasing some new equipment here for the Caffeination, which hopefully will raise the level of professionalism here with the audio. It won't do anything for the guy behind the mic, but it might do something for how he sounds. So we'll see. Hopefully that should be here within a week or two, depending on how I go about ordering it, but we're getting a mixer, actual professional mics, instead of the lovely little USB one that I have here. The only problem with the USB mic that I really have, you know, the sound sounds actually pretty good after I drop the pop filter onto it, but I can't actually monitor my audio, so right now, unlike a lot of the other podcasters that I've seen and heard tell about, I don't have any headphones on, so I'm kind of just trying to self-modulate without actually listening to the audio. Because if you try and listen to the audio when you're using a USB mic, there's about a half second delay. So by the time I say podcast, when you hear odd, I'm hearing P. So there's no way to actually talk like that. If you ever get an echo on your cell phone, that's about exactly what this sounds like. So, yeah, we're going to be moving up in the world. We're actually getting some semi-professional mics, a nice little 12-channel mixer, I think. That's what I decided on. So when it gets here, I'll give you the rundown of the equipment that we have, and then we'll talk a little bit about how it's going to incorporate into the show. We might actually have a couple guests on the show, maybe, because I'll have a second mic available. Now on to the tech tidbits section here at the Caffeination. We have a couple little news stories that I found running around on the internet, and I'm going to pass them on to you and let you talk amongst yourselves. Well, last week somebody won the prize for managing to get Windows XP to run on a Mac natively, so the new Intel-based Macs, that is. So given Apple's recent and actually historical response to people doing things that weren't originally intended upon their hardware and with their software, we expected some kind of litigation to come out of Apple in response to this, but they went the complete opposite direction. They actually released a free downloadable product called Bootcamp, which allows you to install Windows XP on your Intel-based Mac. Yes, I said that correctly. You can install Windows on your Intel-based Mac. Now, I love this idea. I think Macs have fabulous hardware. It's just if they didn't come with the attitude, I'd be a little bit better off. I consider myself probably a little bit more of a PC user at heart because it's what I grew up on. I mean, I've used Macs on and off throughout my life, and I have a Mac laptop now, and I absolutely love it, but I don't know. There's just something about the verbiage on the Mac Bootcamp page that really rubs me the wrong way. Let me just read a small sample of this, and you can tell me if it's laced with a little bit of venom, shall we say. This is from the actual Mac homepage, or Apple homepage, so I'm going to link it up in the show notes so you can find it there. But it's under the section on the far right-hand side. It's called EFI and BIOS. And it says, and I quote, "Macs use an ultra-modern industry-standard technology called EFI to handle booting. Sadly, Windows XP and even the upcoming Vista are stuck in the 1980s with an old-fashioned BIOS, but with Bootcamp, the Macs can operate smoothly in both centuries." End quote. This is laced with so much. I don't even know where to begin without attempting to insult somebody, so I'm just going to let it sit there and let people simmer over it. I mean, aren't you the guys that only had one button on your mouses and still don't have an eject button for your CD drives? These are just simple usability issues I was bringing up. I mean, it's kind of hard to like one company or another, but man, with text like that on your page, it's amazing that you guys don't get blasted for some of the stuff you put out. Could you imagine if Windows put out something like that? If Microsoft said, yeah, if you want to actually use a computer that works, use us. No, they never said that to my knowledge, and Macs say it all the time. So, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe people just seem to believe it a little bit more often, but we're going to talk a little bit about Macs on the next Caffeination, so I'm going to let that one sit there, and we'll be taking listener comments from all angles of that one. So if you find an angle you want me to talk about, or I'll play your comment on the show here. But we're just gonna let that one sit right there, because I really don't know what else I can say about that one. And still attempt to be fair and unbiased, because that article seems to be pretty biased itself. So I linked an article up with the... I linked two articles there. One's actually on the Apple homepage with that text on there. And the other one is actually the CNET News article, which covers the whole story. So just read it up. It should be interesting to see exactly how far the benchmarks go on their hardware. So we'll see how this all turns out. The next news story, up is that Disney's latest MVNO, perfect for paranoid parents. This is from Tech Dirt. Apparently, Disney is going to put out a Disney-branded mobile phone marketed towards preteens, I believe, which will enable... it's not marketed to preteens, more as marketed to the parents of preteens, which it allows a lot of child tracking features, shall we say. Lets them set time limits on usage, lets them find out where exactly they are, and it's a strange idea. I don't know how many of my younger cousins would actually go for a Disney-branded cell phone. But, I mean, hey, I'm pretty sure the parents would love to have that kind of control over the fact, you know, that their small children are now walking around with open cell phones. I like the idea. I don't know who made this one, but I actually saw it a little while ago. It's for young kids. It only has four buttons on it. Call mom, call dad, emergency, and I forget one else. It can receive calls, so you can have your relatives or something like that call them and say, hey, I'm going to come pick you up. And I think you can change the text on the buttons for things that don't exactly fit into mom, dad, etc. So I like that idea a little bit more than just, like, you know, blanket restrictions on stuff and allowing parents to say, no, you can't talk past 8 o'clock at night. You know, maybe you should have a little bit more control over your kid. I mean, maybe you should just take the phone away rather than trying to restrict it from the back end, because they're going to think that, you know, restrictions on technology are something that they should just accept. I mean, it's that kind of mentality which kind of lets people accept some of the DRM problems that are out there right now. So, I don't know what to do with that one, but I just wanted to let people aware of it. Again, I have the story linked up in the show notes, so you can give us your comments on that one. Last audio comment of the night, because this show's been a little bit raggedy, so I don't know exactly how much longer I want it to go on today, is going to be on a story which has been kind of vilified in the media a little bit. Well, I'd say more in the online media than I haven't heard anything else. But it's also from Tech Dirt today, but the headline reads, RIA suggests MIT student drop out of school to pay the fine. Well, this is pretty standard practice for this kind of title, you know, it's like kind of sensationalist, but basically the meat and the potatoes of this is that the RIA served a lawsuit to the college student, and of course, along with the standard several hundred thousand dollar legal bill, they often attach a settlement offer, which is generously knocked down to around $3,500. The college student contacted them, and apparently the person from the RIA suggested that they drop out of college to pay for it, because after all, they're the ones that broke the law. Yeah, I understand it, and I know people are going to run away with it just because of how the title sounds. Yeah, if the kid did break the law, then there is some problems. But when you look at it differently, if they stole maybe 300 songs, that's only 300 versions and 99 cents a song, so that should be $300 by my accounting. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I see that. If they distributed it, then you have more problems. But, I mean, if they are just downloading songs, if they're just downloading music, I don't see why the price point for one part of the industry shouldn't carry over to the other. This just rings completely of extortion. Some of the comments further down the page on the Tech Dirt site are pretty humorous. One of them mentions the mafia in connection to the RIAA. While I don't know if it's true or not, hope not to find a horse's head in my bed tomorrow morning or anything. But they're clearly lifting some tactics straight out of some movies. So, last section for tonight's caffeination is going to be our caffeine rage section. A little bit less rage today as I've been moving over to the tea, but yeah, still going to be rocking the coffee nice and good, but have a lot of tea in work, so I want to kind of try and dwindle the stash, if you know what I mean. Well, today's tea was the orange peoke. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. However, if you see this tea in the store, I would definitely pick it up. It's a very robust black tea, has no orange flavor at all. It's more of a comment upon the flower that makes it, I believe. I linked a Wikipedia article up there so you can actually read all about it. But it was a very, very good tea, brewed the standard method, at least by me, several tea bags in the pot and just ran the water through the coffee maker. It's one machine, many functions. It actually makes hot chocolate, too. Which actually brings me to a slightly side note. If you remember a couple podcasts ago, I tried the Land O'Lakes Instant Cappuccino Mix with pretty good success. I recently tried, as of probably around 6 o'clock today, I tried their Hazelnut Cappuccino with a cocoa blend or something like that. Tastes pretty much exactly like chocolate milk. Didn't really, well, chocolate milk and kind of a cocoa taste, but didn't really have a coffee taste. Didn't really, you know, give me any kind of buzz or anything like that. Just kind of sort of sat there. Wasn't very flavorful, didn't have a lot of body to it, so I probably wouldn't recommend the hazelnut variety. Overall, their product line's pretty good, and for 59 cents you can't go wrong, but yeah, wasn't really enthused with that one. But back to the tea, anyway. The orange pea oak is actually a very robust black tea. It's nice and strong, deep. Doesn't really have a bitter taste to it. Has a nice strong bite to it, I would say, though. Sharp, not bitter. If you can make that distinction with your taste buds, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But it also has the... has a really nice aftertaste, I have to say that. I mean, a lot of teas, you know, after you drink them, they have kind of a woody aftertaste, shall I say. This was really nice and smooth. Actually, I actually didn't leave my mouth feeling all sour or anything like coffee every once in a while does. And one final comment here in the Caffeine Rage section is I've had a couple people ask me why the content for this section fluctuates so much. It's basically because you cannot find coffee in the news all the time, so it's not like I have plenty of news articles to talk about, and I do not have an unlimited amount of funding behind this podcast. In fact, there's no funding behind this podcast at any specific point in time that I can point to and say, ah, yes, these funds are set aside for that. No. We kind of just take it as we see. So if I'm walking through the supermarket and I see a product, I'll pick it up if it looks interesting to me, if the packaging pops, so to speak, or if somebody recommends it, I'll definitely pick it up and give it a shot. Which brings me to an interesting little side note. A little while ago, we had a listener comment from Tony Martinez about asking me if I had tried the Starbucks cocoa with my cocoa recipe. Actually, Tony, I just did. It tastes pretty good. It doesn't taste necessarily as good as the cocoa that I got from St. Lucia when we were on our honeymoon, but it was a little bit better than Hershey. I mean, Hershey's actually had kind of a flat taste to it. I mean, I know chocolate naturally isn't sweetened or anything, but it had a little bit of a flat taste to it, more so than some of the other brands I've tried, and Starbucks has a little bit denser of a taste, a little bit fuller palate when you eat it. So, yeah, we're going to be throwing that recipe back out there. We're going to do a little bit of a roundup of the different kinds of cocoa. And I'm probably going to vibrate off my seat after I drink it, because that stuff really seems to get to me. So, all right, that just about wraps it up here at Caffeination 20. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and just remember, stay caffeinated, people.